talent we have right here in our church. Amen. Good to be here, ain't it? Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Amen. Y'all awful quiet today. All right. Y'all sure you want to preach? Amen. All right, Luke chapter 22. Y'all ain't been hollering preach with much enthusiasm, so I'm going to begin to wonder if you don't want this to maybe a poem or something. I'm only kidding. Amen. Thank you, Miss Shirley. You're the only one that's been preaching. I'm kidding. Let her rip, ain't Chip. Now, this is the Christmas season. Next few weeks, you're going to hear a lot about Christmas and a lot of Christmas specials on TV and a lot of Christmas parties and all that kind of thing. So let's look at Luke chapter 22, and I'll give you what the Lord gave me this morning, the message for today, okay? Luke chapter number 22. Luke 22, look at verse 52. Then said Jesus unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was with you in the temple, daily in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Look at Revelation chapter 21. I mean, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 7 said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Jesus told those religious people over there, he said, I was with you every day in the temple, and you didn't reach out to get me, and now you're accusing me and getting ready to crucify me, and I've been betrayed in the hands of sinful men. But he said, this is your hour. This is your hour. But my hour's coming. Amen? I want to preach on this morning for a few minutes. Lord, the Lord will help me. We're in the Christmas season, and what little bit you hear about Jesus or see about him from society's standpoint is you see him in a manger and a few wise men, a few shepherds, and you're lucky if you even see that nowadays because all the atheists and all the fools complain about it. I say if you don't like it, go live in a cave till January 1st, and we're going to celebrate it. But I want to preach on this morning. Look at him now. Look at him now. We see him in this hour of his birth in Luke chapter 2. Help me out, mamas. Amen. Help me out. We see the hour of his birth had come when he came as a baby. We see his hour of significance as they traveled, as he came in on the foal of an ass into town, and they throwed the palm branches down, and they hailed him as king. And then we see the hour of his suffering in Mark 14:41. And we see that his hour of salvation for me and you has come. We see one day we'll see the hour of his crown is going to come. The society don't know the Jesus that you and I know. We see him in the Bible. We see him as a baby. Amen. As I already said, we see him a little bit later on. We see him as a young boy. We see him a little bit later on. We'll follow through the four Gospels. We see him as a preacher. We see him as a healer. We see him as a revealer. We see him as a servant. We see him as a dear friend. The story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. We see him as a rescuer. We see him in the garden as he's submitting to the suffering he's going to have to go through. We see Mark 14 as our betrayal. We see him suffering in the book of Matthew, I believe chapter 27, somewhere over there, as he's crucified. We see the hour of his death. But I'll tell you, one of these days we're going to see a different hour. Amen. This day that we're living in is a dark day and a dark hour. Jesus said, go ahead. He said, you're going to arrest me. He said, I know what you're going to do. He said, you're going to deliver me up. He said, you're going to crucify me. But this is your hour. Listen, brother, I want to tell you why you don't fit in and why you feel so weird in this society. This is not his hour. Brother, his hour is yet to come. One of these days we're going to see him as a leader. We're going to see him as judge. And we're going to see him as king. He'll be crowned and he'll conquer and he'll capture. Brother, he'll come back. He'll bring calamity to those that reject him, and a calm to those who receive him. One day those that pierced him will even sing. Those that cried crucify shall cry, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Hey, brother, this is the hour we're living in. This is your hour. I want to just talk just plain to you of false religion. This is your hour, Islam. Go ahead and have it up. Have a good time. Go ahead and kill yourself and talk about Allah. Go ahead, Roman Catholic religion and humanism. Go ahead and have your day. This is your hour. Go ahead and enjoy it. Have as much fun as you can, because his hour is going to come. Atheism. We hear about it this time of year, the atheists start whining like a bunch of babies. Don't they make you want to puke? Atheists are a bunch of sissies. You know why I can prove that? It don't bother me. Somebody else believes something else. That don't bother me. I lay awake at night. I sleep like a baby. Why does it bother them so much? If they don't believe God exists, why does it bother them that we're worshiping somebody that don't exist? What's the problem? If it ain't there, why are you so worried about it? I ain't making you worship Jesus Christ. I ain't making you put a manger on out in front of your yard. But bless God, leave us alone while we worship him. Amen. Go ahead, Christian thoughts. This is your hour. Tom Cruise, Richard Gere, people like that. Believe in Christian thoughts. Go ahead, have your big time. This is your hour. Have a good time. Enjoy it. This is your hour, abortion advocates. Abortion has destroyed over 30 million babies since January 22, 1973. Hey, listen, they say there's more than 20 times the number of soldiers killed in all the wars that America's ever fought. There's 4,300 babies murdered in our nation every day. And they say, well, it's my body. What about that little baby's body? Who's it at? I mean, who's going to defend him? Who's going to defend that little baby? Hey, man, that you're cutting out of your stomach and putting it, sucking it up in a vacuum cleaner and cutting it to pieces. Go ahead, abortion clinic. Go ahead. Yeah, this is your hour. You're right. It's your hour. It's your world. The Bible said the devil is the god of this world. I tell you what, we're waiting on his hour. Amen. All those that hate traditional Bible-based family value system, this is your hour, Ellen DeGenerate. This is your hour, Rosie O'Donnell, Oprah, Dr. Phil, Hillary and Obama, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Janet Reno, got away with murder back when they had all them people killed out in Waco. You know why? Because this is their hour. This is our hour. Amen. All the Supreme Court justices, you can legalize abortion. You can do all you want to. One of these days, them rugs are going to be stripped off of you, and you're going to fall down on your face like a crying baby at the feet of the Lamb of God that suffered and died for our sins. This is your hour. Amen. This is your hour, Bible haters. Madeline Murray O'Hare, she won't be running her mouth when he comes back. Amen. They have a thing called freedom from religion. They put billboards up and says all kinds of negative things about Christianity and the Bible and about Jesus Christ. You have the National Endowment for the Arts. This is their hour. Somebody took a crucifix and dropped it down in a jar of human urine. And our tax dollars pay for that. A guy got a tax grant for that. That's art. But you know why that happens? This is their hour. Amen? Go ahead and poke fun. Comedians make fun of Christianity. David Letterman, Jay Leno, Saturday Night Live. Every time a Christian stubs their toe, you know what they do? They jump all over it. Brother, it's because this is their hour. This is the God of this age. And this is the age of that the devil is running rampant. Listen, you know why? I don't really keep up with college ball that much. And I watch a little bit of NFL. And that Tim Tebow, they've been picking at him and picking at him. And you know why that is? It's because I believe it. And they got nothing to do with his ball playing. He's a pretty good ball player. But it's because he's a devout Christian. And when they put that microphone under his face, he said, oh, thank Jesus Christ, my Savior, for saving my soul. They can't stand it. Brother, it's because we're living in a dark, black hour. This is the hour of sin. This is the hour of Satan. This is the hour of this world. And brother, one of these days, it's going to be the hour of the Son of God when he comes back. This is all my introduction, y'all. I ain't even got my preaching yet. This is your hour, Lady Gaga. I don't know if that's a boy or a girl. I think it's a boy pretending to be a girl, pretending to be a boy. How messed up is that? Didn't she do a song, or he or it do a song about Judas and all that controversy? You don't want to do that junk, don't you? Just to sell records. And they think it's cool. Marilyn Manson, people like that, and Madonna, people like that's been doing that for years. They come out and do something real crazy and stupid, and they'll brag about being gay, and it's born that way, and this is normal, and all you Christians are freaks. But go ahead. This is your hour. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy it when they turn the cameras on, because it's your hour. This is your hour, rappers, deceiving America's youth and brainwashing them and filling their heads with trash. Amen? Well, I never let my kid listen to that and never will. Amen, brother. That's right. Deception. This is your hour, United States government. If you think the government's for you, you're crazy. This is not a government of the people, by the people, for the people anymore. It's a government for the government. Amen? Government's getting bigger every day. Any government can give you everything you want and take away everything you got. But it's their hour. Raping the public in the name of democracy. This is your hour, homosexuals. Make a mockery of the family and the purpose of God. The media has portrayed the homosexual relationship as a monogamous, loving family environment, but according to the Institute for Sex Research, the average homosexual will have between 300 and 500 sex partners in a lifetime. That ain't normal if you're heterosexual. That ain't normal by no stretch, brother. Amen? This is your hour. Listen to this. Pornography industry. This is your hour. You used to have to go to a dark alley somewhere to find it. Now all you got to do is sit down at your... Matter of fact, you don't have to go home, carry around your phone, get on the internet and hit about two clicks and you got it. Every second, $3,075.64 is spent on pornography. Every second. You hear me? This is their hour. Every second, they interview porn stars like they're something special. They won't interview a preacher like that because it's their hour. Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography. Every second, 372 internet users are typing adult search terms into search engines. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created in the United States, and we wonder what's wrong with our country. We wonder what's wrong with our churches. Hey, let me give you a little story I heard here a couple years ago. There's a bunch of preachers in some big camp meeting somewhere, and they're all staying in the same motel, and one of the preachers there kept inviting the manager of the motel to come to the meeting, and he just kept blowing him off. Finally, he said, "Sir, why don't you just come to the meeting one night?" He said, "Preacher, if you want to know why, I won't come step around the counter and I'll show you why." And that preacher comes stepping around behind the counter, and he pulled up on the computer. He said, "See all these guests, all of them's in the name of that church," and it showed all them preachers. I mean, it's a gob of them. He said, "Don't you look at how many pay-per-view porn movies have been watched this week while y'all been up here preaching." It ain't no wonder, brother, that churches are dead. It's no wonder that you can't get a God out of people. They got so much wicked, filth, and vile communication in their lives, the Holy Ghost can't move on them anymore. Amen. This is your hour, pornography. This is your hour, TV and Hollywood producers, promoting sex and sodomy and incest, child molestation and murder. Amen. This is your hour, child molesters. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. Coaches, teachers, preachers, amen, politicians, and molested little kids. I ain't never heard nothing to beat it in my life. When I was a kid, I never heard of that. I never heard of a kid even being touched or being fondled by an adult, much less somebody doing it to their own children or doing it to somebody in their classroom. And brother, where are the preachers? Why don't you hear preachers preach against me? I'm not bragging on myself. I know I'm a nobody, but I don't hear nobody else crying out and sounding the trumpet. This is your hour, Satan. Prove to you this is his hour. Matthew 8:28, those demons came to Jesus. Verse 29, they said, "We know who you are. Why did you please don't come to torment us before the time?" And what time they're talking about? They know what's fixing to happen. Amen? I want to say to you this morning, look at him now. All that's my introduction. Some of you's done ready to go home. But I'll tell you what, when he comes back, He's going to overthrow the Vatican, the Communist China, the United Nations, and NATO. He's going to overthrow Iran and Iraq and Turkey and all the other countries. And brother, the Bible said in Matthew 25, he's going to set the nations up and divide them like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And the Bible said in Revelation chapter 6, they'll cry for the rocks to fall on them, and they'll run to caves and try to hide. They'll say, great day of his wrath has come, the wrath of the Lamb, and who shall be able to stand? They won't sit back and say, I wonder who that is. Oh, they'll fall down like dead men, and they'll pray for mercy, but mercy won't be found on that day. Look at him now. That's what we're going to say. When he comes back, he's not going to come back in a manger. And he's not going to come back as an humble servant riding a donkey into town. That was supposed to happen 2,000 years ago. But when he comes back the next time, it's going to be different. I want to say, if you look at Revelation chapter 19, keep your Bible open. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you, and I'm going to move along quick. I'm going to try to give you what God gave me. We're going to go home. Amen? Revelation chapter number 19. I want to say this. Look at him. In his power. Revelation chapter 19 said this. It said, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they say, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne and saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants and ye that fear him, both great and small. I want to say, when he comes back, brother, he said, the next time you see me, he said, the tribes of the earth going to mourn. He said, I'm coming back in power. Brother, this world ain't never seen. You talk about shock and awe, brother. I mean, we're fixing to see it. Oh, I'm so excited, I can't hardly wait. I mean, brother, Christmas time is a great time of year to celebrate that he came to this world. Oh, but the next time he comes, we're going to say, look at him now. Amen, brother, listen. He'll come back in the rapture of the church, and he'll come back and take the church out, and we'll have 7 years to get our garments ironed out at the judgment seat of Christ, because we're getting ready for a wedding. We're getting ready for a marriage. And the Bible said, behold, he cometh with 10,000 of his saints. The Bible said he'll come right now on that white horse, and he said we'd be riding with him, and he's coming back to conquer. He's coming back to make war. He's coming back to take over. He's coming back in all his power and all his glory. You talk about power. You think somebody can just throw the stars out there, just sling them out there into orbit. When he comes back, brother, it ain't gonna be much fight to it. Amen. Bible said he'll come back. It'll be a divine military dictatorship. He'll come back to make war and to judge. Brother, when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back in his power. People's not going to wonder who it is. They're not going to have interviews and try to figure out, I wonder who that was. I wonder who that person is causing all this stir up over there in Jerusalem. Brother, we're going to come back, and the Bible said we'll be arrayed in white garments. Amen, brother, because of him. It's the righteousness of the saints. And the Bible said we're righteous because he's righteous. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when we come back wearing the white robes, it won't be because we're good. It'll be because he's good. We'll be put through the refiner's pot at the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll come out as a bride adorned for a husband, and we'll be ready for the marriage. Amen, brother. Listen, I want to tell you, he's going to come back, and he's not going to be tiptoeing around. He's not going to take sides. That's God Almighty. He's going to take over this thinking man. He's coming back, brother. I ain't talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the revelation. Look at him in his power. Hey, I want to say something else. Number 2, look at verse 1 there, Revelation 19. We're going to stay there for just a minute. Revelation 19:1, I want to say also, I said look at him in his power, but look at him with his people. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. You know what all them people's doing? They wasn't arguing and voting and splitting. They wasn't splitting hairs
and splitting off and starting other churches and fighting and cussing and fussing and getting mad and pushing their lip out. They said, hallelujah, glory to God. They said, his hour has come. Finally, after 2,000 years, his hour is here. I want to tell you, brother, it's not his hour now. That's why Jesus said this. He said, narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life, everlasting, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way to destruction. And he said, many that go in there, oh, but brother, listen, that's because this is not his hour. Oh, but brother, when he comes back, everybody in the world's going to see him. Everybody's going to know who he is. And they're going to look at us, and they'll see us come back with him. He'll be with his people. Thank God I'm glad I'm one of his people. Thank God I'm glad I'm a Jesus fan. Thank God I'm glad, like the old song said, I'm all tangled up with him. He's mine and I'm his. I'm glad he's going to come back, and we're going to come back with him. Look at him with his people. All these weird, peculiar, odd acting, strange weirdos are going to come back on white horses one day wearing white linen like you've never seen. Amen. Well, it ain't going to be so odd to shout then. You can't get people shouting anymore. But brother, you'll do some shouting that day. You'll say, it's his hour. It's time. It's finally come. It's here. Brother, I mean to tell you, you talk about an exciting time. I mean, brother, we never experienced nothing like it. I mean, when we come back, all the hosts of heaven, imagine if you can. I can't grasp it myself, but I don't know how many people's been saved over the past several thousand years from the day of Adam and Eve all the way up until the rapture. You imagine all the people that get saved, even those that get saved during the tribulation. It won't be those that's heard the gospel now, but the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in that 7-year period. But imagine all those millions and millions of people. There's 6 billion people alive on earth today. I don't know how many of them Christians, but brother, we ain't the only ones in this thing. There's going to be a multitude like no mention number, and everybody's going to be saying one thing. They're going to be looking at one person. They're all going to be shouting the same thing. Say hallelujah, honor and glory and blessing be to the Lamb of God. He was slain from the foundation of the world for all kindreds and people and tongues. He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us. Thank God this is his hour. His hour's coming, brother. I feel out of place here, don't you? I feel like oddball most of the time. I just jumped on to my next point. I said, look at his power and his people, but look at his praise. He said, all them people, and if you'll read on, you'll find out that there's a multitude that they couldn't even number. And it sounded like, it's the way the writer John describes it, it sounds like ocean waves. There were so many people, and they're all looking at him. They can't take their eyes off of him. When he comes back, but it's going to be, you know, the Bible compares it as a bride and a groom. And when you're set up here in this altar, and she walks down that aisle, you can't take your eyes off of her. How many of you waited for that moment? Now that people shack up all the time, and nothing means nothing. But I mean, if you do it right like you're supposed to, and she comes walking down that aisle, and there you stand, you can't quit looking at her. You just can't quit saying, that's the way it's going to be, brother, on that day. I don't care if you're a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of God, whatever you are, if you're saved, washed in the blood, I guarantee you're going to shout. You say, I don't believe it, shout. You'll believe it then. I guarantee you'll start believing it. You'll get on board. You'll jump in it, brother, and you'll start saying, praise him, praise him, praise him forevermore. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank God. Look at him in his power. Look at him with his people. Look at him in his praise. He said salvation and honor and glory and power. When he was here the first time, they nailed him to a cross. But thank God when he comes back on that day, it's going to be his hour. There's nobody going to touch him. Nobody's going to put their hands on him. Flip on over to Revelation 21. Just a couple of pages, should be, a couple of chapters. Look at him now. Don't you look at this. Look at him in his presence. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This one had it. There's been war in heaven, and this world's corrupt. Right? People say, why has God let this happen? God didn't let it happen. Adam and Eve let it happen. Adam and Eve opened the door back down the Garden of Eden, and it come flooding in, and it's still coming. But he said, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the whole city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. I'm jumping ahead of my point, I'm but one point ahead. Let's face it, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God was with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. We won't have to break up and go home no more. We can stay at church all the time, Brother Sam. I can't wait to get back to church. That's what it's going to be. We ain't even got a crumb of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. But we're going to be in his presence. You have the greatest church service you've ever been in. Imagine that multiplied thousands of times over. Your body won't even get tired. And you can just praise him and shout and glorify his name forevermore. Look at him now. Look at him in his presence. The Bible said, he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. I appreciate his presence. We was at a church service one time years ago. I've been in a lot of good services where there's a lot of shouting and praising God. You don't see that much anymore. One time we was at a church service. I know my family will remember this. Candace probably won't. She was little. It's been nearly 20 years ago, maybe. This is this big church where we used to go when I wasn't pastoring. And these people were up singing. They had tent meeting. Matter of fact, Miss Williams knows the people. Brother Barry Goodman's choir's up singing. And there's about 1,200 or 1,400 people there. And boy, they got to singing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. My God, that place flooded the altar. And there was so many people in the altar, you couldn't get to the altar anymore. People was lined up down them big. Them aisles went, the church was shaped in kind of like a, you know, like that, a wide span, and all the aisles were full. People were down on their pew, between the pews, praying. And listen, the Holy Ghost came down in that place, and everybody in that place was shouting to the top of their lungs. People never shouted, was shouting. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I remember standing there at that altar, and all you could hear was a roar. You couldn't hear anything particular, but it's like an ocean wave. It is the most glorious feeling. I remember looking around, Brother Sam, and I remember seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and they all standing there with their hands up like this, and tears dripping. Every single person in that place, they were just going wild. They were in his presence. Brother, listen, we're going to be that way forever. Hang in there, child of God. Don't give up. Don't quit. Thank God we're going to say, look at him now. We're going to get to be with him. We're going to get to be in his presence. I went to Hammond, Indiana one year, pastor school with a friend of mine, and only time I ever went. We was up in the balcony, and there's 5,000 preachers there. 5,000 Baptist preachers, and a lot of them had their wives. My wife wasn't with me. Me and Brother Wayne Reese went together. We was up in that balcony, and it was a great church service. Now think about this. I'm talking about 5,000 people. I'm not talking about 40. 5,000. You ever been in a ball stadium with that many people? 5,000 people. And old Jack Howes got up and said, Brother Bill, come over here and sing a song. And I can't remember what the song was. It was a common song you've heard your whole life. It was something like, what a day that will be. And old boy grabbed that microphone, and he started singing, there's coming a day. And boy, he didn't get through that first line. I felt something run up the back of my neck. Boy, I tell you, people started raising their hands, and they started weeping, and they started shouting, and they started crying. People right down on the main floor was running back and forth in that big old church. They was shouting all over that place. I looked around that balcony where we was at. There was hundreds, maybe thousands in the balcony. Everybody was standing there. I wasn't the only one, but all those preachers up there. Everybody was standing there, tears dripping off their face, down their shirt. We all had one thing in common. We saw him there for just a minute. We caught a glimpse of him. Oh, that old boy up on stage. Brother, he sung right in to the throne room of God. And we caught a glimpse of the lovely, darling, sweet, precious Lamb of God. And we have shouted it out. I'm going to tell you, brother, one of these days it's going to be that way. And it's going to be that way forever. We're going to be in his presence. Revelation 21:23 said, and the city had no need of the sun. The Bible said previously to this day, an angel stood in the sun and announced his coming. And then they got rid of the sun. We don't need it anymore. The Bible said there in verse 23 that the city the city that me and you are going to live in. It goes, it's about the same size of going from North Carolina to Texas, from Texas up to Michigan, back across to New England, back to Florida. 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep. It'll be, I don't know how many stories high, and it'll be full of the glory of the precious, spotless Lamb of God. He said the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. His presence. Well, hallelujah, I'm starting to feel like preaching now. Look at him now. It's going to be a different story next time he comes. Look at Revelation 22, and I'm going to close on this one. Look at him in his power, his people, his praise, his presence. Revelation 22, look at him in his place, his rightful place. I want to tell you something, people. I get discouraged sometimes, too. I get discouraged sometimes. I think, my God, we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah and ain't no hope. I mean, look at our politics. Look at what's going on with the crime. And I told my wife this last night. I said, you know, everything on television, even commercial, has a sexual motivated everything. It's like movies and TV and sitcoms and everything. The ultimate goal is sex. That's heaven to them. But one of these days, we're going to get to say, look at him now. Revelation chapter 22 said this. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the land in the midst of the street. And on either side of the river was now the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. Now listen to this. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Amen. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And if you'll read on down a little bit further, he said, behold, I come quickly. Here's what I'm going to say in closing. Look at him now in his place. When he comes back in the revelation, the Bible said every knee is going to bow. When he comes back and all this takes place and that war, world war takes place and then there's 1,000 years of peace on earth, every news commentator will come on the air and they'll say this, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, has now ascended the throne in Jerusalem. Now, and then they'll go off there and they'll say, what did they say that for? Wait a minute, let's talk about the election. Okay, you ready? All right, 3, 2, 1, you're on there. And they'll say, Jesus Christ, Lord of lords, King of kings, has ascended the throne. And they'll cut to a commercial. What'd you say that for? I don't know. I couldn't help it. I can't help it. How can you say anything else? What's the big story today? Listen, Jesus Christ came back. He's been crowned. He's crowned. He's crowned King of kings and Lord of lords. The Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He's coming. And we'll say, look at him now. Oh, think about this. Come on, Pam. All the dictators and all the kings and all the people that's ever lived. All these people that mock Christianity, make fun of the Bible. You know what they're going to do? They're not going to stand there like this. They're going to collapse. They won't be able to. I mean, how are you going to stand? How would you face him? Now think about it a minute. When a criminal goes into a courtroom, he's standing there like this in his prison suit. I don't care how many he is. You take a guy, a hitman for the mafia. They'll stand there in shame most of the time. But imagine facing the God of the universe. He'll be in his place. Then me and you are going to say, look at him now. He ain't in a manger anymore. People ain't going to run out and holler, happy birthday, Jesus. The Catholics will realize that little medallion around her neck ain't nothing, just a symbol. He's not on the cross. As a matter of fact, he's not even in that tomb. That was borrowed. He didn't need it but for 3 days. And his body saw no corruption, so he didn't even get it dirty. If you found Joseph's tomb, it'd be clean just like it was before they put him in it. That's the kind of God we're serving. Brother, listen, he came The first time he came on a low foal of an ass, but the next time the Bible said he's going to come riding out of heaven on a white horse. It's going to be something to see. I want to read that to you. Back in chapter 19, he said, "And I saw heaven open, verse 11, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." He's not coming back as an humble servant. Oh, he wore a crown of thorns the first time, but the next time, look what it said. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies were in heaven followed upon him, and the white horse was clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. Now his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible tells us that he wore a crown of thorns for me and you. The next time, the Bible said he'll be crowned with many crowns. There in that same chapter, it tells us, on his head was many crowns. Where do you think them crowns come from? This is my belief. Now, the Bible don't say. It's just what I think. I believe those many crowns is the rewards of the saints that's died and been martyred, and those that stood the test of time, and those that served him and cast their crowns at his feet. First, I'll tell him how many crowns he'll have on his head. First time he's robed in a barred robe, the next time he'll be robed in splendor. First time he's crucified, the next time he'll be praised. First time he came, he was an humble lamb, but the next time, he's going to be a king. I remember hearing this one time. Y'all remember watching the royal marriage here a few months ago? All that pomp and pageantry and all that. That's kind of fun to watch them horses marching up there in them carriages, and the royal prince comes out and the princess and all that stuff. Brother, that's going to look like looking at an outhouse when he comes back. I remember Mace Jackson said one time, he was listening on the radio when they crowned Queen Elizabeth or something like that. And when they started talking about putting that crown on her head, he said chills went on through his whole body when they announced crowning of the queen. You think about that when the ladies and gentlemen, everybody in the world, billions watching. Everybody used to be dead and alive now. Ladies and gentlemen, I know I've got your attention because look at him now. We're fixing to crown him. Y'all crucified him? We're going to crown him. Y'all killed him? We're going to worship him. Y'all tried him, he's going to come back to try. Y'all judged him, and now he is the judge. He came and died on Mount Calvary, but the next time he's going to come and rule from Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and everything is going to be on our lips. If somebody says anything to me and you, we're just going to say, look at him now. Let's all stand this morning.